This has been an exciting series, right? Domino Effect. If you've been with us the last couple weeks, Justin's brought it. We started talking about our identity, right, and replacing bad habits with better ones. And so this week we're going to be talking about eliminating temptation. And I said that this morning in our little huddle with everyone who is serving, but I'm sure a lot of you don't deal with temptation. So if that's you, you can leave right now. No? Okay. So this is for you, right? And so, you know, in preparing for this message, I thought I'd do a little bit of research, because I don't know if I'm the only one, but when I think of temptation, temptation equals sin. I always think the bad stuff, you know, the typical things. But I thought, you know, I'd do some research to find out, well, what's the big thing right now? You know, what are the temptations that Americans face? And if you've heard of the Barna Group, they're really known for doing some great studies, especially in the religious realms. And so I found this really cool study that listed out the top five temptations that Americans are self-reporting for what their temptations are. And so I thought I'd share those with you. And so this first one is anxiety or worry. Anyone here? Anxiety or worry, right? So yeah, a lot of heads shaking, you know, and it took me a few seconds to think, well, why would that be a temptation? But then it started making sense, right? I mean, it consumes a lot of our time, doesn't it? It's a big distractor, you know, to be all wound up with anxiety and worry. There's a lot of worries that we have in our lives, and they can really congest, you know, our day-to-day, I think, right? So it makes sense. The second one, I thought this was interesting as well, procrastination. All right, I won't ask you to raise your hands anymore. That's done. There you go. No, but procrastination, that kind of makes sense, right? Especially when you think about maybe your relationship with the Lord, right? Yeah, I'm already getting up in your grill, as Justin would say, but, you know, I'll start reading the Bible more later, right? I'll start serving more later. I'll go on that mission trip some other time, right? So procrastination, if you start thinking about it, that makes sense. 60% for both of those, by the way. So that's mind-boggling. Next one, eating too much. How about that one? Again, I won't ask you to raise your hands. Again, over here. love you, Mike. So, yeah, eating too much, right? And so, again, I mean, that resonates with me. You know, like, I think good or bad, I think our self-image can be a part of that, right? There's so many options to us, especially in America with food. It's all over the place, so much focus. So eating too much, 55%. This next one, I think, can hit a lot of us, right? 44% overuse of electronics or social media, right? And I read an interesting rebuttal online once about how cell phones are destroying our culture, and someone came back and said, well, newspapers were the same thing back in the day. Everybody just put it up and they buried themselves in it. But social media is a little bit different, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff that goes on there, a lot of bad that can happen, a lot of distractions. So 44% there. And then this last one, again, really interesting, 41% laziness, just straight up laziness, you know, in whatever part of your life. But even if you think on the spiritual side of it, laziness, it takes a lot of work, doesn't it, to abide in Christ, to spend time with him, to seek him out. So I thought that was really interesting, these self-reported temptations, you know, and after I'm reading through this, this saying came to mind. I think it so applies here, and it says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy, right? Think about that. If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And so I was talking to a friend of mine a while ago and you know, just trying to dig something out of them as far as like, what's the big thing in your life? You know, what's the thing that God, you know, is working on you, or what's the thing where Satan's getting a lot of ground, and they're like, I'm good, I don't sin, I don't drink and chew and date girls who do, and that's not how it goes, you know, and, you know, they're just like, I don't have any sins, you know, I'm good. Well, how are you doing with your walk with the Lord? You know, I read the word every once in a while, you know. You serve? Sometimes. And I start realizing, okay, well, the victory is being done on what Satan is keeping you from, right? Not necessarily putting you into something. So I thought that was really interesting. So what I want to do is get into the Word and take a look at what instruction do we have in here, and what promises do we have to help us with the temptations we face. And so I'm sure you've already been thinking about what is it for you, and I'd like you to do that if you haven't already. You know, what's one area, like Justin started off this series, in 2020, this is a year that I start doing this. Or in 2020, this is the year that I stopped doing that. You know, what's that big thing where you want to see some growth in your life, right? And that's my prayer that I can help you out with today, but just by looking at the Word of God. So let's first go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I tell you what, over my Christian walk, I've read this and shared this one verse so many times because it's so powerful. Two wonderful promises in this one verse from God Himself. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Let's stop there. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's pretty powerful. If you know the story of Job, I often think of Job's story. It kind of starts off sort of funny and sad at the same time. You know, God's hanging out. Satan comes up to him. God's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" Satan's like, "I'm roaming from here to there." God's like, "Cool. Hey, have you heard about my servant Job?" You know, and they go into this dialogue about, allowing all of these trials to come to him. You know, but Satan couldn't do anything without the permission for God to allow these things to happen to Job. And I take comfort in this first part of this verse that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. You know, Satan's end game is to destroy us, right? If it's his way, probably none of us would be here. You know, he would take us all out. That's his job. Whatever it takes, he wants to take us all out, right? But that's a pretty powerful promise right there in that first part, that God is kind of the gatekeeper of that. And by the way, the word temptation here in this verse in the Greek is test. So think of it that way, right? You know, these temptations, again, we can't always be like, "Well, it's that candy bar I know I shouldn't eat." You know, how are you being tested, right? And why is God allowing it? And know that if you're facing it, God knows you've got the strength, right? If you'll seek him, if you look for strength from him, it's like, "I know you can win this. Come to me, let me partner with you." So that's a pretty powerful promise, amen? So the second part of this verse, just as powerful. "But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it." Other translations say a way of escape. What a powerful promise that he, God, every single time you're tempted, will provide a way out, a way of escape. So what is that for you? It may be really obvious. It might be turning it off. It might be saying no. It might be distancing yourself from some unhealthy relationships, right? What is that way out? And is it really obvious and you're just ignoring it? But God has promised a way out every single time. But I think the biggest way out is right here. And let's take a look at that. So this first part, the promises that God give us, it's really important for us to know that. But the second piece in eliminating temptation is we need to fight like Jesus did, right? Let's turn to Matthew 4. What a powerful example here that Jesus shows us in fighting temptation. And a quick footnote. You know, Jesus, in this story, Matthew 4:1-11, Jesus is being tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted, y'all. And I know sometimes I think Satan gains some initial ground with us, right? We get that temptation in our head. We start thinking about something. And you think, that's a terrible thought. And I'm thinking about it, and I guess it's already too late. You know, don't let Satan fool you. Just because you're being tempted does not mean that it's a sin. It's not a sin. And we're going to see later that it's impossible for God to be tempted, which is our proof. So let's take a look real quick and kind of go through this story quickly. Matthew 4:1-11, it's up on the screen here as well. "So Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert and tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, remember that, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" Why do you think Satan is trying to tempt Jesus with bread? He's hungry, right? Dude's hungry. Satan knows where to attack him. And I'm sure it's no new news to all of us, right? Seems like Satan reads our mail. He knows right where to attack us, doesn't he? He knows our weak spots. He studies us. He knows where to attack. But we'll look at this response. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Talk about fighting fire with fire. And by the way, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy right here. So, how is Jesus fighting this battle? Round one, he's using the word of God. Satan doesn't give up, though. It's kind of interesting how this turns. Moving on to verse 9, he says, "Then the devil took him to a holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written,'" this is Satan talking, "'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against the stone.'" This is Satan now firing back and using the word of God. Satan is using Psalm 91 here. How many of you guys have ever read or seen or heard the word of God taken out of context? Happens all the time. I used to work, I'll talk a little bit about this in a moment. I used to work in the banking industry for 16 years, and you know, counterfeit cash, tellers and all that, they don't study all the different versions of the counterfeits. They don't. What do they study? They study the real deal. So if anything other than that comes through, they recognize it. How are we going to know if there's false prophecy, the word being taken out of context, the word being bent for what our culture's agenda seems to be? How are we going to know that if we're not studying and measuring it up against the word of God, right? We need to do that. So Jesus responds to Satan using Psalm 91, fires back with Deuteronomy 6:16. And he said, "It's also written, you do not put the Lord your God to the test." And you can almost feel the tension. He's like, watch out now. Watch out now. But Satan's not done. He keeps going. He says, "Again, devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms in the world and all their splendor. And he said, 'All this I'll give to you if you'll bow down and worship me.'" I kind of laugh at this part. Like, who does Satan think he is, right? It's like me going to your house and saying, "I'll give you this house if you'll buy it from me." All right? I mean, this wasn't for him to give. But he's trying to tempt Jesus. And Jesus says, and he quotes scripture again, Deuteronomy 6:13. He says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" So three times he tried, three times he struck out. Jesus fought temptation by using the word of God. The whole purpose for this whole experience was for us to read this example, right? That was his whole reason for showing this. You know, and I alluded to when I said about the financial world last year, some of you know, went through a big trial in my life where I was laid off. You know, that first temptation, that anxiety and worry, that's something that I've been struggling with, you know, last few years, and have realized a lot of growth in that. But if you struggle with it as well, you know that fear can be a big motivator. And where I was working, you know, in the financial industry, layoffs were happening in waves, and God protected me for a while. But every time I'd think about it, it just gave me goosebumps. It just scared me. You're like, "God, please, God, please." And then it happened. And, you know, I dropped to my knees, gave it to God, you know, and it was a powerful moment. A lot of you guys know about that story. And it was an awesome experience. But I knew right away I had to get into the Word. I had to. And so I used the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. And I know Justin talked about that. I shared it on the slide. If you guys haven't used that, it's a great study tool. Yeah, I'm not saying don't use the paper word of God. It's awesome. But that app is really helpful. You can search by any keyword, you know, whatever you're struggling with. Do you want peace in your life, right? Are you struggling with anxiety or depression, kindness, hospitality, you know, whatever you want to learn about. It not only gives you scriptures that apply to that, but also give you Bible plans. And I found this amazing one by Charles Stanley. It really became my rock. He did an amazing job talking about how do we get the peace of God. And, you know, I was reading through these scriptures, and as I'm reading them, they just spoke to me. You know, and like I shared with some of my closest friends, as I'm reading the scripture, I just felt that peace of God just start washing over me. Like, almost like I could, like it was real, like water. It's beautiful. You know, and hear this guy that deals with anxiety and worry and fearing this terrible thing. It was like almost a non-issue. I mean it. you know? And so I want to share, if I could, three of these scriptures that really helped me through, because I want you to think of the same things, you know? Like, I want you to go away and search the Word and try to find your loadout, you know? Try to find your weapons that you can use, like Jesus did, to fight Satan and wherever he knows to attack you. So I want to share three of these. I mean, and you'll get it when you see these. So first of all, John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Man, that spoke to me on day one. I lost my job. I needed to hear that so much. I really did. Here's another one that really, I just kept it, and I read this verse. I don't even know. Every single time I felt weak, which was a lot. Philippians 4:6-7, you've heard this one. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and he'll give you peace," right? "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I remember sharing as this was happening, like, I cannot, so my wife, like, "Look at me, I'm fine, I'm at peace. I just lost my daggum job, I don't know what's gonna happen to me, but I was at peace. Because it wasn't me, it was God that just did what he promised. He was showing me and proving me that his word is true and real. And this third one, Deuteronomy 31:8, is a great one. "The Lord himself goes before you, and he'll be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." The list goes on, but these are just three of them that I relied on. You know, and it's no mistake that the word of God is called a weapon. A sword. Have you heard of the armor of God before? If you haven't read it before, Ephesians 6 talks about how we need to take on the armor of God to withstand this battle against our enemy every day. And it goes through and it gives a great visual of the armor of God, right? It says your feet are covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield, I don't see, I'm right-handed, the shield of faith. You know, and that's defense, 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 defense. And the offense, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's no mistake. It's no mistake that this word is called a weapon. And Jesus demonstrated it for us, didn't he? He demonstrated that this is our answer. The way out that we read about earlier, the way out is the word. Your way out of your temptation, your test, your trial, it's the word. It sounds simple, but it takes a lot of work. So go away and search this. Find those scriptures that can be your rock, that can be your loadout, right? So when those battles come, you can start feeding this back just like Jesus did to Satan in the wilderness. And if you haven't done that yet, let me get you started with one of them, if I may. James 4:7, check this out. And it's easy to memorize too. Memorizing these helps a lot, by the way. It says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Jesus did that, right? At the end, that third temptation, he said, "Away from me." So unless this is a lie, if you believe that the word of God is true, this is your answer, right? It's powerful stuff. And so, and we need to, first of all, understand the promises God gives us that we read in 1 Corinthians. We need to fight our battles like Jesus did. And the third thing, this is our part now, we need a clean house. Yeah, this is our part now. So what does that mean? You tell me. So we need a clean house. Think of the marshmallow thing, right? Their temptation was right in front of them. Right? It was right in front of them. And it's a whole lot easier to eliminate, you know, temptation if you just remove it, right? Resisting it is a lot harder. Resisting it is a whole lot harder than if you just eliminate it. So it might be as easy if you're trying to eat better, get rid of the Twinkies, right? My wife is on keto. If you need to know anything about keto, she is a pro at it. Tell you what, we got so many keto things in the house, it's crazy. But you got to clean out the bad stuff, right? You got to get those marshmallows out. And by the way, they have chocolate-filled jet puffed marshmallows. Y'all know about that? Dad, gummit. Oh, that doesn't make it easy. But some of them are a little bit harder, right? Do you need a clean house in some of your relationships? Right? There are some friendships that are maybe drawing you away instead of drawing you to. Right? God's blessed me with some amazing men in my life. Whoo, gonna go by that quickly. And you need that. But what about maybe it's as easy as turning some things off, setting up a password, you know, making yourself accountable. Justin next week is going to talk about accountability. Please don't miss next week. Make yourself accountable, right, to somebody that can help you to fight that battle, right? Partner up. So think about what that is for you, right? You know, is there something that you need to clean house and do your part? Something you've kind of been winking at, if you will, that sin, that thing that's around that you just need to get out. You're not going to win if you're just trying to go on your own willpower, right? Think about if you go into battle and all you've got is the armor part, but you have no weapon, you're only going to do so well, right? You're only going to get so far if you're not fighting the battle with the Word of God. You know, and it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. You know, making the Word of God a part of your daily life is crucial, guys. It really is. It took me forever to get that. And this is a guy that went to Bible college and has been involved in ministry for 28 years now in one way or another. And only until recently did I, these last few years, have I really dedicated myself to, you know, read the Word and lean into God every single day in His Word. And the more you do, it's awesome. The more you do, you learn some great mysteries and you learn, you know, the personality of God more when you read it all. It's amazing. You learn things like, we saw marshmallows. I was telling this earlier. Mallow is actually in the Word of God. Job 6:6. But there's some really cool, dragons are in the Bible, by the way. Very interesting. There's some really cool wonders, how, you know, God stopped time and God changing His mind and, you know, bones coming to life. You know, there's amazing, powerful stories. God's patience and His wrath, you know, His provision, His mercy, His comfort, His peace. The more you spend time and lean in and abide in His Word, the stronger you get, the bigger your weapon gets, the stronger you find these verses that help you walk through those battles, right? It's crucial. You gotta fight your battles with this right here. You have to. I found this scripture, read it before, but it's really a perfect picture of the domino effect of temptation. And turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1. We'll have it on the screen here as well. These are small numbers, verse 13. So it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's the end game. That's what Satan wants. He wants to destroy us. Does he go straight there? Nah, he starts with the little things. Remember on week one, Justin talked about that, this tiny little domino. You can find these online where, I don't know how small it was, but it, you know, as it tips over, it will push over another domino 1.5 times its size, you know, and it just keeps going. And then what do you say, after 29, it could tip over the size of the Empire State Building or something like that. And it's a good visual of how temptation is. If you think about it with all of us, you can kind of like, yeah, it's happened to me. Started with that one little thing, that one little hint, that one little like, yeah, I looked again or whatever the thing may be. I ignored it. I didn't think it was a big deal. I kept hanging out with them, kept reading it, kept binge watching it, you know, and it just starts taking its toll, doesn't it? So see Satan where he's attacking you, right? Remember that when you're tempted, God promises two things, right? No temptation you face is bigger than you, and He will provide a way out, a way of escape. He promised. And when we fight these temptations, we need to fight them like Jesus did. We need to use this Word. We have to go to it. If you try to do it on your own, you're going to fail, right? And then number three, our part. We got a clean house. We got a clean house. Allow yourself to be challenged. What does that mean? Are you willing to make some sacrifices to separate yourself from the things that have been tripping you up, right? So we're gonna close in a quick prayer and then sing one more song. But again, I can't impress upon you enough how important it is to read the Word of God. Make time for Him every single day, even if it's a little step, right? Good habits take time too. You know, and when you're thinking about, you know, removing these things out of your life, I've said this saying 100 times to my family and friends, and I could start it and they could finish it. But a good thing can be a bad thing if it's not the best thing, if it's not the right thing. So an otherwise good thing could be a bad thing if it's not a good thing, except for bacon. Let's leave that one alone. But think about that, right? See Satan where he's attacking you. Turn to the Word of God. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you for the truth that's in it. We thank you, God, for your promises that you'll be with us every single time that we're tested, every single time that we're tempted. We thank you, Father, for showing us the example through Jesus of how we need to fight these temptations. We need to turn to your Word. God, give us the strength. Reveal yourself in your Word as we lean into that. And God, convict us in our hearts. Show us those otherwise good things that are really bad things, because they're just not the best for us. They're really getting in the way of us drawing closer to you. Show us what those are and help us, Lord, to fight our battles with your Word, because your Word is our way out. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.